We'll delay House Bill 1154 and go to 1160. Is there any proponents of a House Bill 1160? We're having a bad run. We're having a bad run. Oh, this is a good bill, folks. May I pass the gavel somewhere? Representative Siebert, do you want to take the gavel, sir? It's terrible when you forget your own bill, isn't it? Let's have a chair. Mr. Chairman, I propose to, or if you will permit me to pitch this bill from the desk here.
Well, we've already asked for the opponents, so we'll carry on.
Okay.
You may have the floor.
House Bill 1160 is a attempt to allow or assist the mentoring program as provided by certain church groups, in that certain churches and organizations are having a mentoring program for disadvantaged or children who are in need of some advice from their peers. What this does is allow a lay minister, as it is called, who is a person working as a spiritual advisor under the supervision of a clergy, to have the same immunity as to a privileged conversation as the as those persons listed now in 1916 to 1913-18. What this was brought about was certain organization in Aberdeen, the church had youth working and forming a confidential relationship with the children they're working with, and it certain remarks were made between the, as we say here, lay minister and the mentoring person about some a conversation that was subject to being subpoenaed by lawyers or other people. It was the feeling there that perhaps this would diminish the effect of the mentoring program if we did not give these people immunity to privileged conversation between the mentor and the in this case, the delinquent or person in trouble. So this, all this bill does is try to attempt to resolve the lay minister from having to testify to confidential information that was passed on him, onto them while they were providing a service of supervision or working with as a spiritual advisor to young people in the church group. Stand by for questioning.
Representative Marshall.
Thank you. My question is, what are the exceptions to that immunity rule for the, you know, for the others that you're adding lay ministers to this list?
They cannot be compelled to testify to privileged conversation. Conversation that would be considered privileged between the two people.
But my understanding is there are some exceptions to that.
I am not, maybe somebody more qualified than I to. What is the exception to confidentiality on the privileged communication? Anybody, lawyers here, have that? We'll find out in just 1 minute.
I mean, for example, I know that in therapy situations, which would be covered by that, and a counselor, you are, the exception is if you find out someone intends to go and kill someone, you are required to go and break that confidentiality, correct?
Representative McCall, have you got anything that has an exception?
Mr. Chairman, may I address Mr.
McCall? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Marshall, there are a few limited circumstances where healthcare workers and that, and generally healthcare workers and teachers and that sort of thing are required to provide notice of certain types of, if there's child abuse, that sort of thing. But generally the law doesn't impose that kind of obligation on persons outside that statute. And I'll find that statute for you and get that here for you shortly.
Any other questions?
Representative Jensen.
Thank you. So this would be similar to a physician-patient situation or a attorney and his client. Do they allow their trainees? Would that be a similar thing? Do they allow their trainees, a physician that has a trainee, are they allowed that private information as well, just like a clergy and a lay minister would be?
What this would attempt to do would put the lay minister under the supervision of a clergy to have the same immunity as a clergy would have.
I guess this, do we have any other opponents? Hearing none. Is there any other questions from the sponsor of the bill in this case, I guess? If there are none, are there any opponents?
That's right. Just
if there are no more opponents or proponents, we'll close the meeting for a committee discussion or action.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hennis.
I have a hard time with this one, too. I think the confidentiality privilege is well-founded on certain specific people. The marriage bed is considered an absolute privilege, the attorney-client privilege, and the ordained minister. But contrary to what we might have talked about a little while ago, a caseworker does not have an automatic privilege against or in his confidentiality thing. And I think in this case that we showed that there is no license required, no ordination required, there's no qualifications required. So anyone, even after the fact, could say, I'm a lay minister and therefore I refuse to testify. With our law being based on voluntary compliance and being based on the fact that all citizens should be involved in enforcement of the law, I think this bill flies in the face of all of that and will open up for just anyone who happens to be a church worker or a mentor or any other kind of relationship with any person could claim to have that confidential privilege. So I would move to the 41st day with this bill.
We have a motion to 41st. Second. Second by Marshall. Are there any other comments? Questions?
I have one comment. This provides that this person would be under supervision. That's a question of fact that would have to be determined by court, whether there was supervision in this particular conversation. But primarily, we are trying to encourage mentoring in the with the younger people by people of their peers. I am thoroughly believe that if we don't give them an immunity, there will be less likelihood for confidential or information that would be necessary for the mentor to work with that child to be done. Therefore, I think it's very important that at least if we're going to promote the mentoring system, that there should be some protection by the person who's doing the mentoring and the person who is being mentored for. So I request that the 41st day proposal be not passed.
Any other comments or questions, Marshall?
I respectfully disagree with that position. I have been in the role both through my church as a youth leader for years and years of adolescence, and then previously professionally as a probation officer, and prior to that in lockup at a detention facility. And I do not believe that protection is necessary to be able to foster close personal relationships with kids in trouble. I think that what we're talking about is trust level. I think that is interpersonal relationships and not a protection that can or cannot be given in a courtroom. And so I do not think that raising lay ministers to the level of these other protections is appropriate, and I do not believe that to raise this to that level would help foster the kinds of relationships that we're talking about.
Any other comments?
Chairman.
McCauley, Representative McCauley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll note just in passing that as a matter of rules of evidence that it's up to the court to determine whether or not the privilege exists, and so the court makes the determination in each of these cases, SDCL 19-9-7. I don't particularly see a problem with this bill. I'm going to vote against the motion to table the 41st day. I know in my church we have a number of pastors, official pastors and ministers, and we have a number of people working underneath them. This issue has come up on a couple occasions in our church where you have pastors who will take student counselors out into the field, and they'll go out and do a missionary project or a mission project. And they'll go out under various places, either in Sioux Falls or South Dakota or in surrounding areas, and engage in this type of work under the supervision of a clergyman. And so I don't see this as unnecessarily expanding the existing privilege laws, and as such, I'll be voting against the motion to table. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? If not, we'll close the discussion. And Representative Monroe.
I came in late and I wasn't familiar with the motion. I would encourage the committee to vote against tabling this bill also.
Well, it's not to table, it's go to the 41st day.
I mean to 41st day. Thank you. If you look in any, if you look at the definition of a clergyman, minister, priest, rabbi, they've all been to schools. But if you look at the basic books they use as references, like the, whatever it is, the Bible or the Torah or whatever they use, you're not going to find, especially in the Bible, you're not going to find schools. There's no differentiation between a clergyman and a lay minister. They're all the same thing. It's people that brought in the schools and all these qualifications for them. And so I think that in a lot of cases, you're going to have well-qualified people that would be called lay ministers. So I'd agree with Representative McCauley. Thank you.
Any other comments, question? Mr. Haines. Representative Haines.
Thank you. I would only like to point out that all of us have lay ministers in our churches and so on, but I'd like you to just consider before you vote on this thing the number of people around the world who call themselves a church, the number of people who as we've seen in the West Coast, especially during the 60s and the 70s, who formed their churches and were completely outside of the sphere of what we're talking about here, the Our Lady of Interstate 90 or whatever, and you have no idea what kind of a basis they have for these religions, and this covers them all, and it gives them an exclusion and a confidential privilege. And I just want you to think that we're not making laws for our own personal churches. We're making laws for the entire state and for anybody that's in it, for anything they wish to call a church. And think about that a little bit.
Any other comments or questions? Yes, Representative McCauley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the problem I'm having here is the laws are written and the privileges are written with the intention that people go and seek advice when they have a problem. And if I walk into my church and the ordained pastor isn't there, but another person who works as a spiritual advisor under the supervision of my pastor is, I should be able to talk to that person about the problems I'm having without the fear that they're going to be subpoenaed to testify against me in a court of law. I shouldn't have to ask to see their proof of their ordination as a minister. I shouldn't have to ask to see that they've been passed the seminary and been officially brought into the church as into an official capacity and ask for their papers. That should be the last thing that crosses through my mind. And so with that, the privileges on communication are designed to protect people and encourage them to talk to their advisors and get direction and advice. And I don't see that this bill creates any constitutional issues. I think it's a very simple bill that has been made into much more.
Yes, Mr.
Not in an effort to drag this out, because we've got a lot to do and we need to vote. However, you know, I'm reading the bill, and under Section 1, in the existing law, in 1913-16, clergyman is defined as a minister, priest, rabbi, accredited Christian Science practitioner, or other similar functionary of a religious organization, or any individual believed to be so by the person consulting the clergyman. I think that, with all due respect, that covers those people who are working within an organization, a youth pastor, a youth counselor, a singles counselor. I am worried about exactly what Representative Hennies is talking about, and the lay ministers and the people who with intentions that may not be clear, cloak themselves with some legitimacy of some religion for the purposes of who knows what. And I am concerned about that. I think if we want to be able to promote some kind of mentoring program, there's probably a better way to do it than to lump these people in as a quote-unquote lay minister, and maybe there's a better way to do it.
Any other comments? We'll take two more. Representative Monroe, you're number one.
I have two comments. if what Representative Hennings says is true, these people already qualify as churches, except for the tax evaders that you're probably talking about. And so to say that we're expanding this to include all these wackos, they've got all this narrowed down already. Let's just put it the way we say it in the hallway. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody want... You've been there. No other comments? If not, we'll close for a roll call vote. It's for the 41st day.
Bartling?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Kenny's?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Mattson?
Aye.
McCauley?
No.
Monroe? Marshall?
Aye.
Noctegal?
Aye.
Siebert?
No.
Valandres? Michael?
He's not here.
Brown?
No.
It passed on a vote of 6-5. So at this time, I'll turn the chair back to our very capable Representative Jarvis.